take it to the top. To the top. Not the bottom of the top. To the top. To the top.
Welcome to another very, very sporadic podcast called Take It to the Top. I really wish I could do this one more often, like every week. That was my original intent. It's turning out to be a whenever I want podcast, which kind of goes against the grain of what podcasts are supposed to be. And I apologize for that, but things get busy. My name, by the way, is Richie Phillips, a.k.a. Ryman Richie. Used to be a radio personality on a station here in upstate New York, WGNA. I now am a semi-retired, although I hate that word. I'm in between jobs, and I do a podcast on the side and perform locally, you know, for corporate functions and weddings and private parties. If you want more information, you can go to my website, which is
HireRichie.com.
That's HireRichie.com. Apologies for that. I tend to break out into song randomly. This episode is going to be very interesting and also very, very local. If you are a resident specifically of the town or township of Wilton, New York, which for the uninitiated, that's a town that's a little bit outside of the town or the city of Saratoga Springs, New York. It's a beautiful area in upstate New York. If you saw what it looked like in 1990 and the way it looks today, it's a bustling little town. It's got all kinds of stores and shopping centers, and it's become a shopping mecca. And maybe it's caused some controversy within the locals who maybe don't want to see it grow as much as it has. And to others, they may look at it and say, oh my God, this is great. Look at all the revenue it's bringing in. I don't know where people stand, and I'm kind of interested to see what the reaction is to this podcast. And I'm going to be speaking with the former town leader. His name is Roy McDonald. Roy McDonald grew up in Lansingburg, New York, and is a local. And for 23 years, he was the town and county supervisor for the town of Wilton, New York. In 1986, he served a term as the chairman of the Saratoga County Board of Supervisors. Before being elected to the New York State Senate in District 42, on November the 4th of 2008. He served in the Assembly since 2002, and he represented the 100th and 112th districts. I'd like to continue, but the phone is a-ringing, and he's right on the line. The man with the vision, Mr. Roy McDonald. I'm so glad I finally got you on the phone here.
Well, thank you.
It's great. Great to have you on here. You know, I have a personal background of your area because I lived in Gansvoort for 8 years. So I remember in 1990 when we moved in what that area looked like. And you look at it now and it's just incredible. And you were behind the whole thing. So what was your background before you even became supervisor? I never knew that story.
Yeah. Well, first off, just before I forget, we had a team. I put a team together. So no one person does anything good or bad, okay? And we had a lot of good people doing good things.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
And I became supervisor of the town of Wilton when I was approximately 30 years old. That's kind of young. And I'm originally from the city of Troy, the northern part of Troy, Lansingburg. Now, growing up in a city environment, an old city like Troy, when I was a kid, I had about 60 or 70,000 people. You never thought much about services.
Right.
You never thought, because the city was old, one of the older cities in upstate New York. In addition to that, if you needed your garbage picked up, the city garbage department came in. If you needed recreational programs, the city had swimming pools and ice hockey and baseball fields and all kinds of parks.
Sure.
And The more serious things, water, sewer, roads, were taken care of by the city. Now, if you fast forward, I become a supervisor of a relatively small town, and at that time it had about 3,000 people.
That was it?
And you could, you could tell that it was going to grow, and one of the reasons you could do that is you had a superhighway structure that as a little kid I watched being built, okay, and went all the way to Montreal and went back down to New York City, over to Boston and Buffalo. It was going to be eventually a very popular, you know, well-used travel.
For those of you out-of-towners, he's speaking of the Adirondack Northway, by the way.
And, of course, the Adirondacks are between here and Canada, and the public loves the Adirondacks. And, you know, you knew it was going to happen. And the way I looked at it, I would have to turn around and work with a good bunch of people to find, you know, and do all this growth, if you will. And you have to start out by looking at reality. And this was not something secondary to me. I had moved in. I had a little baby. And, you know, I've ended up having three daughters, and this little baby, we came into a community. It was small at the time of population, but it was adjacent to Saratoga Springs. And,
right.
Of course, it had exits off the Northway. And I would tell people when I got there, and I didn't pretend to be an expert on it, but here's what's going to happen. You got a six-lane superhighway structure. And, you know, growth is going to come in the form of a tiger. That's how it's going to be overwhelming. And it will either do one or two things. If you don't do anything, it'll destroy you. It'll be terrible in structure, no planning, no nothing. Or you can get a hold of the tail, if you will, by the tiger and ride that tiger to success. And
right.
But you're not going to bury your head and say, we'll all go away and we want it to go back to... you know, 50 years before that.
Although I'm sure there's a contingent of people that still to this day wish. You're always going to get that in a small town. You're always going to get
people. Well, you're going to get, right now it's over 20,000, so and that number is changing. And it's not by itself. Saratoga County has become a dominating county in upstate New York.
Right.
I'm very proud of it. I was on the Saratoga County Board of Supervisors as well as the town supervisor for Wilton. And without question, Saratoga County in upstate New York is proportionally the most successful county in upstate. And, yeah, people are going to say we don't want that, we want something else. But you know what? In this day and age, people understanding health issues and such, you got to have, you know, legitimate water systems and sewer systems, and you got to have the understanding that we live in an automobile society, no matter what anybody says. It's not getting less than that. It's becoming more than that. And you've got to have roads. People got to get to work. Emergency services have got to get to the people.
Now, did you have the vision, not to interrupt you, did you have the vision at that time that the shopping, that the retail was going to be as big as it is now? Did you even picture that when you went to bed at night? Did Roy McDonald dream of all these things?
Well, no. And once again, it's a team effort. But
right.
You could see what was happening.
Really?
People were moving to Saratoga County.
Right.
They didn't want to go into Albany or Schenectady or Troy, the shop in the past, like they had in the past shopping. And we had these people. The kind of people we had moving in were generally speaking, middle-class people with family structure, very family-oriented. All different type of incomes, to low incomes, to very high incomes. And when you're at that age bracket with children, I knew because at that point in time, I was at that age bracket with having children and all the things you need for a family structure, it was going to happen.
Now, what year are you talking about now with this? Approximately what time?
I became supervisor in 1979.
So you're talking about, okay, early 80s is when this is starting to grow.
Yeah, and what happened... it was an interesting thing. All of a sudden, people were calling them and saying, we want to do this, we want to do that. And we didn't have the planning and zoning apparatus to deal with that. We didn't have the engineering people on board to deal with that. And it was do something or be sorry in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I talked about the retail section, ironically, when I was in this time frame, I got a call from an engineering firm in Washington, D.C., and they were explaining to me how a new grant came out at that time for communities to want to build downtowns. And the very big, prestigious engineering firm in architectures, they came up here without me knowing, and they looked around and said, you know, you should build a downtown, and you can get two-thirds of your money from the federal government and some from the state, and then you put up the other, and you're building a downtown. I said, well, I already got a downtown.
Right.
And the guy's on the phone, I said, what are you talking about? I said, I can almost walk to Saratoga Springs from where I live. I mean, I could if I had to, but I mean, I said, they've got one of the best downtowns, not in the area, but maybe in this part of the state.
And that would have caused a lot more pushback if you tried to put
well,
it downtown.
Well, it wasn't a matter of pushback. It was a redundance matter more than anything.
Right.
Why am I competing with something that I want to succeed? But what they did not have, and they turned down any kind of mall or Home Depot, all these type of big stores, and they thought that people would still shop in the downtown area. Well, growing up in Troy, all the stores went out of business in downtown Troy when all the, Colony Mall and all these places moved in.
Sure.
And I said, this ain't going to happen. And the town was approximately, 45, 50 miles, square miles. And at exit 15, we were just getting into, let's have a planning department, let's have zoning. And because that was on the superhighway structure, and prior to us doing anything, we had the proverbial gas station there or something like this. But you knew that was a prime thing. And if you take 1.5 or 2 square miles, and you say, I'm going to zone that for retail and, even whatever, a commercial type of zoning, and I think it'll sell. Well, it sold and then some. And then I told the public, I said, every time I would talk to the public once a year or town board meetings or a tax meetings, they would say property tax is the thing they hated the most.
Right.
Property tax.
Of course.
And in Saratoga County, was never known for having high property taxes, but still, with the mandates coming in from the federal government, but mostly the state government, in school systems, the numbers got up there, and people coming from other states, and we were having a lot of that. People from our state down in New York or out in Syracuse or something, we were getting all these people moving in there. And I figured out the answer to this is sales tax. Now, sales tax is a volunteer tax. So we opened up, all these retail stores, and we did not collect the tax. The state of New York did. They didn't come into a hearing that they would require for the town to have on. We don't like our property taxes, so we cut the property taxes.
You're saying if you had enough sales tax, it would keep the property tax down.
Well, I'm saying more than that. That's not even close. We eliminated the property tax 36 years ago. Think about that. 36 years ago, okay, the property tax for the town of Wilton was eliminated. And when I did that 36 years ago, everybody was, I got calls from different people who were friends and people who were in my political party saying, don't do this. You'll end up halfway through the year short of money, and you'll look like a fool, and you'll hurt your community. I said, I think we got so much money coming in, and instead of putting it in the bank and hiding it, I'm going to turn around and reduce taxes with it and pay for services. And we did.
And if you're just tuning into this podcast, we're talking with Roy McDonald, who's the former town and county supervisor of the town of Wilton, New York, here on my podcast, The Top. Now, how did all this money affect the amount of taxes that a typical homeowner up there would pay? This is kind of interesting. Let's get back to our talk with Mr. McDonald.
Now, in the beginning, a typical home might have been paying to the town of Wilton maybe $300, $400 a year. Now they're paying maybe $3,000 a year, the typical home. And we got our homes and the people who live in that town range from, living in a trailer, what they call trailer park, which are, we've turned into very nice facilities, up until, million-dollar houses. In sections of the town, the typical neighborhoods are $500,000, $400,000 to $800,000, maybe even $1 million. So we've got a cross-section of people of all different ethnic groups and different, financial situations. And they're not paying property taxes to the town of Wilton.
Now,
if you lived there 36 years, you probably got close to $40,000 that you would have had to pay in that 36 years.
It's interesting because we moved up there in 1988. I remember, and the reason I remember 88 was the house that we bought, which was really in the town of Northumberland, right? Because we lived in Gansville. It was 1988, and we paid $88,000. For that house. It was such an incredible deal. But I do remember the mall was just starting to be built, the Wilton Mall. And
well, the malls, we had two walls.
We had
a Wilton Mall, which was the wall from Syracuse.
Right.
Okay. They tried to get into Saratoga Springs, and they turned them down. And then the Wilton Wall, people out of Rochester, Wilmorite Corporation, came in. And then we got, I don't know what they call them, I guess they're power malls or power plazas. We got, and Rich, I'll tell you something, I never knew this much about, I never knew too much at all about retail business. I didn't realize that, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's, two competitors, good stores, very good stores, competitors, they want to be near each other.
They all move in next to each other. They feed off each
and
other.
And the reason for that is they figure somebody's out shopping for something, and they're going to buy it here or there, okay? So we'll get a piece of the action, and so will the other people. I mean, I didn't, you know, the first time I really ran into that was the Burger King went in, and across the street, McDonald's wanted to go in.
I always felt eventually we were going to find out that McDonald's owns Burger King, right?
Well, you know, my name is McDonald's.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, and I used to tell people the Saratoga newspaper had the front page: McDonald announces Burger King to open in the town of Wilton.
That's
okay,
right.
And, you know, they got a lot of fun with that. But listen, economic activity is required to have money going through your community.
Right.
If you're a senior citizen, last year. I went out to visit one of my relatives in Tucson, Arizona, in a senior citizen township. Mm-hmm. They have no school, okay? They have, but if you're going to be in a community that's not all seniors, and you're going to be in a community that's you know, a young, dynamic community, you can't tax these people to death.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to find an economic product or more than one, okay? And what we have in Saratoga is that you can walk through the Saratoga Springs city. You can see one of the most beautiful, I think, cities in the United States. You can shop in little shops there. You can stop at restaurants. Okay, you can go out to Home Depot in the town of Wilton and buy things that you have to have, you know, for your house and everything.
Right.
You can go to clothing stores. You can go to, you know, all kinds of stores.
Sure.
And they're going to be there. Now, what's happened, which is very good, Saratoga Hospital has opened up a couple of facilities out there. One
right.
is a same-day surgery.
Sure.
These are not small facilities. These are big facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they've opened up urgent health care. So we have a combination of, you know, medical facilities in the town that's now exploding. And we have, you know, I remember when I took over as the supervisor, Rich, we were supposed to have a health officer. I had to be, you know, a regular doctor on a part-time basis. And that was a requirement of the state of New York. And so the natural thing is, well, let's go find a doctor in the town of Wilton. So we give somebody who's, you know, in the town of Wilton
sure.
The job. There was no doctors. Now, I venture to say that the town of Wilton's got more doctors than living there than Saratoga Springs, and probably almost as many as in Clifton Park. I mean, it has become that type of community. And by the way, it's not just for rich people, it's for anybody.
Sure.
We have approximately 12, trailer parks, but they have different terms for it now. The town got tough on it about 20 years ago and say, fix the roads, do this. You know, we want these people taken care of, and they did. And we were the only town in the county and maybe in the Capital District that allowed, you know, these things to continue on. And a lot of them were senior citizens things, and they have to adhere to all the regulations, which are new, you know, as far as plowing, as far as keeping the roads up. And I'm very proud of that. I came from a low-income family in Troy.
Amazing. Amazing.
Okay, I came from a housing project starting out in Troy. So to me, and once again to my team, all the other players on the team, that was not a big thing. Just do, you know, take care of these facilities, and we can all do this together. And by the way, we're making so much money that we can eliminate your taxes.
Right.
Now, in addition to that, that's your town taxes. We were able to turn around. Say, the school system, we have more than one school system that cover the town, Saratoga Springs, South Glens Falls, and Schuylerville. Okay, but we had such a tax base in those areas that lowered what they would pay their school system. And the same thing happened for the county.
Oh, sure.
So they didn't eliminate the county and the school taxes, but you paid less than somebody in the neighboring township.
But being there when I was there, like in the late 80s and so forth, I remember taking my son, who was like 1 year old. We used to go to the Wilton Mall when it first started, and it was completely dead. And I said to my wife, this place is not going to make it, which shows you what I know about real estate and town planning. In the very beginning, were you concerned that it wasn't going to go? That it wasn't going to work?
My observation, and once again, I came from an old city, and, you know, Troy is my hometown. My parents were from there, so I have, we'll always have a great deal of emotion and love for the city of Troy, but everybody was moving to the suburbs. That's a fact of life.
Right.
It started right after World War II, and it, you know, down in Long Island when they had that one community that had all houses but no businesses to pay the taxes.
Right.
That's what made it a difference to me. And all these, the trick was, instead of these people filling up their gas tank in Albany County or Warren County, or instead of going to those stores, that we had them something that they want in their own county, because the county is the critical component in sales tax.
Sure.
Okay, they're the ones that determine if you have a sales tax, and they determine what that sales tax is going to be.
Yeah, because we were one of those families that moved out of the city area. We moved up there, and I remember we have neighbors that lived in that development, which is Terrell Hills, for all you Terrell Hillsers.
I know where it is. Yeah, nice place.
And they worked in downtown Albany.
Well, I worked in downtown Albany for 40-plus years.
Wow.
Okay.
And commuting from up there. Yeah.
I went up and down at, the Northway as a business person, as a member of the New York State Assembly, and as a member of the New York State Senate.
Oh, that's true. Right. So you drove there,
okay,
too.
Okay. And we think, living in the capital region, that traffic is terrible. But if you go to New York City or Boston or all the big cities across the country, even
Long Island,
cities that are not as big as that, Long Island, you can go out to the Buffalo area.
Yep.
You got a lot of traffic.
Oh,
nothing
sure.
Like, we got it easy. But the key is, we turned around. We told people. We stuck by our guns and said, no, this is going to work. We got more money. It was one of those cases, more money was coming in than we thought. So when the town needed trucks for plowing, they got them.
Mm-hmm.
We paid cash.
Wow.
How many people does that? That's okay.
Out of your back
this
pockets.
Also helped our community. You know, we have two volunteer fire departments out there. They do an excellent job. The Wilton Volunteer Fire Department and the Wilton Greenfield Fire Department. They do an excellent job. And they got state-of-the-art, you know, facilities. We created an emergency squad. That's a serious thing in your community. This is all. I never did anything like this before. You know, I just grew up, and if you were in a city that, you know, you dial the number. You dial the city you live in and say, send the police here. We didn't have a police department. What we did have, though, was a fantastic sheriff's department. And then we made a deal with the New York State Police at Exit 16 for, you know, a location there. And we're served, you know, by wonderful people. But then you start talking about things nobody wants to talk about. Water. Sewer.
Oh, yeah.
Roads.
Big thing.
Okay.
Yep.
They don't want to talk about planning and zoning. Animal control.
Mm-hmm.
Mosquitoes. We had to go out we had to hire people to fly over and kill the mosquitoes. I mean, everything we did was new to me. I just assumed that that happened in every, you know, it was taken care of. But this was new, you know, even though certainly upstate New York and Saratoga County is not going west, but that's kind of like what it looked like. I like to think we're the good place to go in upstate New York, you know, and we're trying to keep up, and the taxes are low, and we put money into the police departments, and we try to respond to the public. And I think, with economic activity, now, I was involved in the technology park at Exit 12 when I was a legislator, assemblyman. We got all kinds of wonderful companies in the Saratoga Springs and Saratoga Springs area, in the Clifton Park area. It's not a one-man team. It's not a one-town operation.
Right. It's huge.
Yep. Now, you can take a roadmap right now of New York State, put it on your desk or your table, and look at where the superhighway structure is. Over 90% of that superhighway structure, when you look at the towns, over 90% of the towns, cities, villages, whatever, they're not doing well. They just walked away from it. They put their head in the sand, and they're paying a price for it.
Do you think because they got a similar kind of pushback that a lot of the locals didn't want
to? No, I don't think they really. That would be a nice thing to say, and I might say something like that.
Blame it on them.
I'm a public official, but I'm not a public official anymore. They're not paying attention.
They just, they don't have, well, they don't have the foresight that you had.
It's
time for you to brag.
It's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah.
Okay, and saying, hey, I remember Saratoga County when I was a legislator there on social services, put some pressure on social services. Mm-hmm. And they would send out, on occasion, sheriff's departments with a social service, person from the county. And they're checking. And nobody was hurting anybody. Nobody was threatening anybody. But they wanted to know who's getting all this money.
Mm.
Okay? And we reduced social services. They would come in and say, who are these people? What do you do? Guess what? I'll never forget it. We did that. They put it on the front page of the Times Union, I think, at the time. We never got a call from the state of New York and saying, what are you doing?
Yeah.
How did you do this? To critique what we're doing. They didn't have to say good things. They were hands off. Well, that's, unfortunately, upstates, they're whining and crying. Some of the things I look at, and I love the state of New York, I'm from here, the things I look at is the state of New York might consider having more exits off the thruway between Schenectady. Corporations and people you can't drive an extra 30 minutes or 30 miles to get off the road and go back to where you want to go. Nobody does that.
Yeah.
Okay, and they people will come up to me and say, oh, gee, Amazon's coming to town and everybody's going to be buying their stuff over line. I don't believe that. I think a lot of people will be. But if they do, they do. That means we move on to something else.
That was my next question. Are you concerned about Amazon?
Listen, it's out of control.
Yeah, you can't.
Okay,
can't stop
it. So you ride this, and say, "Well, what would you do with the buildings?" Well, we'll tear. It's not exactly like it's historical facilities,
right?
Tear them down, and we'll put something else in there. It could be, and they there's always that negative person that never has accomplished anything and said, "Well, what if this and what if that?" Hey. There's no guarantees. No guarantees in life. No guarantees in business. You do the best you can, okay, and you move on. But I know communities that are struggling, and they say, "Well, what's your economic development?" Their economic development is, let's go ask the assemblyman to get us money.
Do you think? I've seen it myself. When you drive down Route 50, it seems like there's more retail development going in. There's a lot more land for sale. Past the mall there as you go toward...
Well, you can have land for sale, but you got to get it approved by the town in the planning board and the zoning board.
Oh.
So you can sell your property.
Right.
there was a tremendously interesting story. There's a gentleman named Bob Gavin, and we named Gavin Park Complex after him. He was the supervisor before me, and he didn't last long. The poor guy had heart troubles and passed away. But when he was there, he was telling people, if we're going to do this, we've got to have planning and zoning. And at the time, it was a relatively small population, and everybody was against it. And so he went to the school was going to be a public meeting, and they went to the school, and they had to arrest people. They walked in with shotguns. They were going to shoot them.
Oh, are you sick?
Okay, now people have got an understanding. Hey, I'm pro-business, but you got to do it right or don't do it at all.
Right.
I'm pro-business, but it doesn't have to mean that we turn around and design it to the point, that it's dangerous to people if it's a road or something. In some places we have, but that's grandfathered in. In other words, they did this a long time ago. They had that property, and they were able to do it because there was no rules. And I'm not, people want to buy a house. I don't make the decisions anymore, and I'm proud of the people up there who do. But the bottom line is that what are you going to do? I mean, you got two choices. You let the dice go where they are with that tiger, and that tiger, then if it rips your community apart, you did nothing.
Right. I put on Facebook just this morning that I was going to be talking to you and that we're going to be doing this podcast, and there was a comment. I won't say the person's name, but he said, I've lived in Wilton all my life, and I have to say it sucks the way it has grown. So you still get that attitude.
It's America.
Right.
Okay?
But I'm just
saying. You hear what I'm saying?
You're always going to get
there. America.
Right.
I'll tell you this, though. My observations were that people who lived there all their life was happy because all of a sudden the tax burden was taken off
sure.
to a certain extent.
Oh, absolutely.
And it was the people who moved in and said, well, we like it just the way it is. Don't let anybody else move in. But you're not going to turn around, and that's the way it is. Okay?
Right. Yep.
And people, you know, God bless them, everybody's, you know, but I don't see people moving out. I see people moving in. What does that tell you?
Well, Saratoga supposedly is still the fastest growing. Is it still the fastest growing county in New York State for a while?
I think it is, but, you know, you get into percentage. The bigger the entity, the, you know, the percentage, you know, tempting. I would say right now, quality growth and big growth is Saratoga County. I just have not followed the statistics in the last couple of years, but it's happening every place. Some people are leaving cities because they're afraid of the crime.
Right.
And we didn't talk about that. We have Saratoga County at one time, and I think it's still in this category, of counties over 100,000 people had the smallest percentage of violent, you know, criminal activity.
Right. Which
that's
says a
pretty
lot.
Cool. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I got family. My two of my daughters
sure.
Live here with their families. And I guess what I come back and say, you want perfection. I want to see the person who's unhappy say, what would you do?
Right. I lived in a very
yeah,
rural...
I mean, yeah,
yeah, right, right,
where,
right.
How come all these people are moving here? And we're not talking about poor people. They're not coming in and say, help me out.
Where I lived on Eastern Long Island long, long time ago, the complaint from kids when my friends and everything is there was nothing to do. We had the opposite. It was so rural that there was no
right.
services. It was just nothing.
Some people, you know, it's America. They're entitled to their opinion, and they can live where they want to live.
Right.
But it, once again, what did they think when Dwight Eisenhower and Nelson Rockefeller and all those guys built that highway out in their backyard?
Yeah, that's right. Right.
Where were they living? You know what I mean?
No, sure.
So it wasn't a matter of saying, well, I want to dig up the whole thing. Yeah, you know, that's ridiculous.
Yep.
I don't want no hospitals, and I don't want no ambulances or cops. You know, here's the deal.
Progress is scary for people. Progress is scary, right? Change.
Well,
change is scary, I should say.
Yeah, I know it, but it's ironic because that's what basically people do throughout life is change.
You're right.
If you're a senior citizen now, you might decide, I'm going to move to another community where it's quieter, and you do what my brother-in-law did out in Arizona, live in a community that really has no schools, so they have no children. You know, that's their selection. The taxes are virtually nothing,
right.
Okay, and it's a real quiet community. It all depends on who you are. But,
exactly.
I mean, if you're living in the Northeast, and Saratoga County and the town of Wilton, there's nothing better from an economic standpoint.
Yeah, it's a
great
area.
The town of Wilton can't tell, you know, the metropolitan New York City politicians, because they're the one running the state now, what
exactly.
to do. We're outnumbered. Yeah. You do the best you can.
And you did a fantastic job. I want to end this with a little song, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I was very happy. You know, you talk about the Gavins. Well, Susan Gavin Lant. She's the one that hired
yes.
me. We're friends
yeah.
for years.
Very nice lady.
Very nice lady. Big listener to the station when I used to work on WGNA, and we became friends. And she hired me to write a song about Wilton for the 200th anniversary. So I have a little bit of it here I just wanted to give to you.
Sure.
Let's see if you can hear it. Back in the 1600s, this town had its charm. On Jones Road and Smith Bridge Road, there was the Vinsack Farm. The Vinsack Farm was not alone. There were more, if you recall. But you can't stop progress. Hello, Wilton Mall! A town called Wilton, the best town in the nation. Three cheers for Wilton's 200-year celebration. An amazing history. Not kidding, folks. No joke. U.S. Grant once moved here. The poor old bloke was broke. Tried to sell his book to raise some cash when he was quite immobile. If he were alive today, hell, he could have sold it down at the Barnes & Noble. A town called Wilton, the best town in the nation. Three cheers for Wilton's 200-year celebration. 19 more verses to go, by the way. Wilton once made national news, a real reason to cheer. The world's largest pizza, it was constructed here. A 9-ton pie, yep, no lie, it cost a buck a slice. And proceeds went to charity. because the people here are so nice. In 63, the biggest change, it was financial heaven. When they gave the town two exits on Interstate 87, downtown Saratoga, they didn't like the competition. Hey, you can't have too much shopping. It's a Capital Region tradition. The town called Wilton, the best town in the nation. Three cheers for Wilton's 200-year celebration. Now, we bought a house in Gansvoort. We lived there for 8 years. Drove each day to North Greenbush when radio was my career. We thought it was too rural, so we moved on a lark. Little did we know that Wilton was the brand new Clifton Park. Old landmarks steeped in history. You'd think they wouldn't last. But the townsfolk have a motto, a future built from the past. The Bicentennial Trail is Cuomo's recent dedication. Three cheers to 200 years and historical preservation. A town called Wilton, the best town in the nation. Three cheers for Wilton's 200-year celebration. Woo-hoo! Old MacDonald started a town. E-I-E-I-O, and watch it grow.
I like it. Good. Sounds good.
All right.
Okay. It sounds like you had a lot of fun with it.
I really did have a lot of fun.
And the town is like any other community in America. They have their ups and their downs, but it sure is nice to be in America.
That's right. Well, I'm sure I'll see you up there, and we'll be shopping at the Wilton Mall once again. Because
don't forget the racetrack and all the other good things we got up here, too.
And downtown Saratoga as well. It's just a beautiful area.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. MacDonald. Thank you again.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Well, I enjoyed that conversation. Kind of interesting to look back. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Speaking of looking back, I went back into the archives and realized that I actually have written 3 songs about Wilton from my time on WGNA. One was when I did a program called the Reading, Writing, and Rhyming Tour, where I went to schools and wrote songs with kids. I missed that so much. I would love to do that again, but I'm looking for a sponsor. Hint, hint. Anyway, I did a song with the Ballard School, and that is on my Facebook page if you want to go to my Facebook page, which is Richie Phillips, R-I-C-H-I-E, Phillips, P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S. I put it up there, and you can listen to it. Also, I wrote a song about the town of Wilton from submissions that I got from people who called in on the air when I was on WGNA. So you might even hear your name in there or your business name in there. So both of those are on my Facebook page, just for a little nostalgia's sake. There you go. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, there's only really 2 places to get this, and that is podbean.com. And Apple Podcasts under Richie. You have to type in The Top with Richie Phillips, by the way, in the future. Otherwise, you're never going to find it. And if you like what you're listening to, please hit subscribe. That would really push me up in the rankings. I would appreciate that. In fact, if you have an idea of a guest you'd like me to get on here, just let me know, and I will try as hard as I can to
take it to the top. To the top.
That's HireRichie.com.